Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about all of the Disney Plus news of the week. There's quite a little bit of it. So we're going to be going through the new movie slate for the next few years that they've kind of announced. We're talking a little bit about Spider-Man Far From Home. And we're also going to be going through some of the other bits and pieces of the news. So let's jump into it really, because to be honest, there was so much of it straight off the bat, which is really the biggest news of the day. Really, it was the new movies that got announced. They announced tons of them. They announced literally so many movies all at once. It was kind of, I was not expecting that information to come through. So I'm just going to bring this up on the screen so we can see what we're looking at, because there's that many to go through. But what did you think of this initial announcement of all these movies?
I'm not sure I actually say that there are a whole lot of movies, because there are a whole bunch of blank spots where they're going to fill stuff in later.
Yeah, especially on the Marvel side.
Marvel and Star Wars, but mostly Marvel, yeah. I mean, and plenty of the ones that are on the list are stuff we already knew about. But of course, the stuff that isn't Marvel and isn't Star Wars, they're not actually going to announce most of those until closer to their launch, because it's pretty comprehensive up through the end of 2020.
So let's sort of, the big news really was the three new Star Wars movies. They're going to be coming basically in, so we've got that 2022, 2024, and 2026. So three brand new Star Wars movies. And they're going to kind of cross over with Avatar, which are going to be releasing every other Christmas. So that'd be 2021, 2023, 2025, 2027. So literally the only Christmas that we've not got Star Wars or Avatar is going to be next year when we get Cruella de Vil, which stars Emma Stone. But a lot of Avatar, a lot of Star Wars, kind of lukewarm response to that. I think everyone's kind of looking at Avatar at the minute and kind of going, yeah, I'm not excited about that. Personally, I like Avatar. I'm interested to see where they go. If they're making five movies, they've got to have they've got to have some faith in this franchise.
I mean, they paid enough for it, certainly. And of course, the first Avatar broke box office records and stuff, some of which didn't get broken until this past week or two.
Yeah.
And I can see why they'd be pushing it hard, because it did do so incredibly well at the box office, and obviously they've got Pandora at Animal Kingdom. But while I did enjoy the first movie to a certain extent, like it was a good popcorn flick, I have no emotional attachment to it at all. I have no connection to it, even having gone on the Flight of Passage and the Navi River cruise over at Animal Kingdom. I'm just like, cool. I would be 100% perfectly content with no new Avatar content ever. However, having said that, if they do actually have a story that they want to tell over these four movies, and there's a legitimate, plan that they can follow through with this, then okay, that's fine. At the moment, I'm just apathetic to it. I enjoyed the movie, but I saw it and I was done with it, and that was the end of it. You know,
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's that kind of weird thing of, like you say, if there was never another one, I wouldn't necessarily be like, okay. But there's four of them, and they've been working on these for like nearly a decade. These are supposed to come out like 5 years ago. They've been delayed so many times, but I get this delay. This feels more like Disney just, and this whole point of this whole slate reveal was about moving stuff around, because they've got so many movies in development, so many stuff going on, that they kind of want to make sure everything's got room to grow, room to spread out. Now, it's important to note really that what this means for like Disney Plus at the minute is anything that basically says Diz next to it, we know is going to be coming to Disney Plus. Anything that is got Fox to it might not, because there's still issues with Stars. I still think that by the time we get to like Avatar, a lot of this stuff is going to be sorted out, you know, within another year or two. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Avatar was kind of like a cross promotion with Disney, kind of using the Disney brand, because it's one of the most Disney friendly brands at the minute for Fox.
Yeah.
I
don't really have a comment on that.
No, there's so many of them coming on the way, but let's have a look here at some of the other stuff that they've kind of announced. So let's look here at pretty much 2019 kind of stays as it was. There was a little bit of reshuffling. We saw the Maleficent Mistress of Evil be pushed in. What's happened with that slot that originally owned Artemis Fowl has been pushed back to next May. And that was supposed to be coming out in August. That's now been pushed back 9 months. So that's, I mean, we've said about that in the past. That's an odd, I'm not entirely surprised they've pushed that one back because I think they've got enough out over the summer. Ad Astra was a Fox movie they've pushed back. Also, Spies in Disguise has been pushed back to Christmas Day, which is, I mean, in some ways it makes sense. But right off the heels of Star Wars, Rise of the Skywalker, that's going to be a tough one to beat.
I suspect they're kind of doing it more as for little kids or, yeah, you know, family kind of thing. Because you might not want to go see Rise of the Skywalker on Christmas because the theaters are going to be packed on Christmas between that. And here in the States, Thanksgiving, those are the two busiest movie days of the year consistently. Obviously, you've got odd ones out like Avengers, Endgame and stuff. But those are the ones where everybody's going to the theaters. So you might want to pick a movie that's not Rise of the Skywalker because you know that theater is going to be packed. You know that everyone's going to be there. And that could be their kind of idea. Let's try to sell some tickets to this movie as the, no, we don't want to go into the packed theater. Yeah. Let's go see this instead.
Yeah, like you said, it's great for kids. This is the one movie that I feel like fits the Disney mode the most out of all the Fox kind of, you know, the animated stuff. I think we're going to see that flowing through the things of what's going on. Another big delay, New Mutants has been delayed again. It's got pushed back to February. I think it was February. Yes, it's been pushed back now to April next year. If this thing ever gets put out in cinemas, I am still, they've still put it on the list, but how many times then can they push it back? They've also removed all the Fox Marvel movies from the front, from the list. Hardly a surprise at all, but New Mutants, by the time this movie comes out, the actors and actresses are going to be like 5 years older than when they actually filmed it.
Yeah, but Maisie will still look the same. She hasn't aged in like the 8 years she's been on Game of Thrones. So, I think the only reason it's on the schedule at all is because the movie's already been shot. It's not like Gambit, which never had any filming, or any of the other X-Men movies. And I think it's on there just because they have a product. It's just not a product they have any faith in. But yeah, I would not be at all surprised if this skipped cinemas entirely and ended up in Disney Plus.
Yeah, I still think it's going to get pulled at the last minute. It's really weird this week seeing Marvel and Disney promoting Dark Phoenix, of seeing it on their official pages and seeing them putting out posters and stuff, because, you know, they've never done that, and suddenly it's just so weird seeing them actively promoting the Dark Phoenix movie. And it's like, okay, they are trying to reclaw some of the money from this. They know, it's like, well, we might as well put it out there and make some money. But it's been quite funny seeing that.
Yeah, and it's been a journey since the beginning, and since we saw that first trailer, and just
I still think this is going to be the perfect way of ending it off, is Dark Phoenix. I think that's the best way. New Mutants, I think they're still going to release it. I can't see it being done at the cinema. So let's go then back to this list and have a quick look here at some of the other ones. I think they were the main ones that kind of got moved around. So we've also,
I will admit, like some of the Fox ones, especially the 2020 Fox movies, I don't actually know what most of these are. So,
no. I mean, Kingsman movie, again, something that's not really fit for Disney Plus. Call of the Wild, I think that's an animated movie with Harrison Ford as a wolf or something. So that one could.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, we got Onward, which is the new Disney animated movie that's coming next summer. Next spring. Artemis Fowl got pushed back, as I said. We've got Bob's Burgers, so that's kind of interesting. There was one that did stand out, was The One and Only Ivan, which was, it's officially been revealed what the name of that movie is. We don't really know anything about it. And again, we've got Untitled Marvel, Untitled Disney Animation, and then we've got that West Side Story coming out in, we've literally got that one and Cruella de Vil all around Christmas time.
Yes, and I'm not sure that we needed a West Side Story remake, but it's on the slate, and I'm sure it'll do fine. Actually, it's a good Christmas time period movie, because it'll if they're sticking with the musical formula, then it's good for family.
There's a few other ones on there as well, and then we get into 2021 and 2022, very much as Untitled. We know that Nimona is out in 2021. I don't really know anything about that one. The one that did stand out there as bad as was the untitled Indiana Jones movie coming out on the 9th of July, 2021. That's very interesting. Lots of animated ones, lots of Pixar, lots of Marvel. And that pretty much follows right through into 2022. It's lots of untitled, so we really don't know what they're going to be. But I definitely great to see them kind of, they're getting out. But also very interesting to see how they spread them out a little bit. Very much feels like it's almost like one a month. And then occasionally they skip a month or two. I mean, but also this doesn't include the Fox Searchlight movies as well. Those titles aren't included in this list.
Right. And the farther out you get, once you get past 2020, there's always a chance that there will be more movies. Well, not just a chance. There will be more movies added to the slate. You know, the franchises like Star Wars and Marvel, they plan out way in advance because they kind of have to. You know, because they kind of link into one another. So, you announce a Star Wars trilogy as a trilogy. Whereas if you're working on an adaptation for a random young adult book, one that hasn't been done yet, it's not already part of an established franchise, you don't need to announce that until closer to release. So,
yeah. Apparently, Fox, Disney and Fox have been sort of canning a lot of projects, a lot of the big budget ones. Bob Iger did say during the investors call that they're planning on kind of getting the Fox movies down to 5 or 6 movies a year. That things can change a little bit, and that doesn't include the Fox Searchlight movies. They're its own separate thing. Definitely, that's quite a drop for them. They've been used to like pushing out 12, 15 movies a year, so that's a real drop. Their view is they want some quality over quantity. They've got a lot of other movies in the go. They're also pushing content that they want to put making those Fox movies onto Disney Plus. I mean, that was mentioned as well. It just feels like at the minute they're reshuffling everything around. They know that they really don't want to be putting out between 24 and 30 movies a year at cinema. They want to push them for Disney Plus and also just tone back maybe some of the big blockbusters.
Yeah, and I would say if you're going to put movies in theaters, you've got to make it worth the time of the moviegoers. You know. Yeah. You can watch, you know, the rom-com or the drama at home and have basically the same experience as going to the theater. Seeing Endgame in the theater is far different. Well, not far, not anymore, but it's still different than being at home with a big surround sound. You want the spectacle movies in theaters. Yeah. And by having Disney Plus, they can put the other movies that they would have made but won't make a ton of money at the box office straight onto it, and that will clear up the release schedule. Yeah. So I expect, you know, especially moving into 2021 and beyond, that the actual cinema release list will still largely just be the big movies, and then the small movies will just go straight to home.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting what they do with Fox Searchlight, of whether or not they continue to release them, and then because I think we're going to see they were very open during the conference call because it was the first one since Disney took over Fox that they want to keep making stuff. They brought them primarily to fuel its direct to consumer business or the franchises. They want to look to make sequels and reboots of some of the content. I mean, we've heard about things like The Sandlot and Diary of the Wimpy Kid that apparently they're looking to put stuff onto Disney Plus and also sort out Hulu and all the rest of it. So while we're bringing up that conference call, go through some of the other details from that financial results. Obviously, the streaming service area of Disney is still losing millions. I think it's like 369 or something.
A lot.
So a lot of money. Because the trouble is they're spending out and they're not really clawing in. So Disney Plus obviously is not bringing any money in. It's just costing money. ESPN Plus is still trying to grow it. And then they've obviously got the Hulu stuff. The financial results this month were a little bit off because of all the extra stuff with Fox and sorting all that out. But generally, overall, Disney was up. It's just until Disney Plus starts generating money, that unit is just losing money. And they're losing money from not having movies coming in. They did announce during the event as well that Avengers Endgame is coming to Disney Plus on December the 11th, which is about a month after the system launches. And I also very quick, it's like, that's 8 months again since the movie came out, which is the same thing for Dumbo and Captain Marvel. So until the system we really get going, I'm interested to see where that kind of lies. Is it going to be the 6 to 8 months? At the minute, it's looking like 8 months from cinema release to Disney Plus. But I expect things to settle down a bit next year, until once it's running properly.
And it might also not be the same depending on what the movie is. Like, these are big releases. These are ones that people are waiting for. Mm. So being able to announce we will have it on this date, 8 months after, you know, theatrical release, is a big deal. But if you're looking at some of the smaller movies, ones that people are less excited about, they might be able to put them in earlier because, you know, they're not going to make a huge lot of DVD sales, or they can save them to later when they might be not squished in between, you know, movies like Endgame and Captain Marvel. So I'm sure the big blockbusters, you know, the ones that will get people to subscribe to the service will be put on as soon as they think is reasonable. Yeah. But smaller stuff, like, for instance, if Noelle had come out in theaters, you know, let's say it came out in theaters last Christmas, they might not put it on until this Christmas, that kind of thing. Obviously, you know, it didn't come out in theaters last year, and it is coming out in Christmas, but, you know, hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm.
It's also, to me, it makes a lot of sense of the idea of leaving it a month, because you're going to have Captain Marvel, Dumbo, and you're going to have all that exclusive content. So they're going to want you to pay up for that second month, because obviously we're going to have The Mandalorian. They're going to want to keep spreading things out. We know Penguins, they've said that it was 2020. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's January. But, you know, I think once we get rolling, it'll be a little bit simpler trying to work out when movies are going to be coming onto Disney Plus. At the moment, the three movies we know so far are 8 months. I think it might, if Disney Plus had launched in September, they might have pushed forward a little bit. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see on that one there. A couple of other interesting things from that event was Bob Iger was asked about the pay-to window, which we talked about a few weeks ago, about Netflix having access to the movies from 2016 to 2019, where basically all those movies that were on Netflix come back after, like, 7 to 9 years. So it won't affect movies to like 2025 to 2027. We're talking a long time away. Bob Iger was very much like, I don't want to talk about it. But by the way, we did sign that when we signed the deal, there was a little thing in the contract that says we can still have them as well. And I thought that was, it's like, you didn't say much, but you did say a lot at the same time.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't even have said that. I'm sure that there's all sorts of legal things that he's got to navigate before he can say anything properly, officially, etc. And they might not even know because of the legal quagmire. But the little wink and nod suggests, they feel like they're on relatively safe ground with maybe getting a dual access to those movies or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. They've probably got access to do what they want with it. Maybe Netflix doesn't have exclusive pay-to rights. There was also a question from the same user as well about buying contracts. They confirm they have bought contracts when they announced everything, so things like Star Wars, and they are looking to buy, trying to basically sort out the rights and buy stuff back. They are actively trying to get out of existing contracts and try and sort things out to move things along to get more contact, which makes sense. We knew they were doing it, but it was just nice for them to actually kind of confirm that.
Anything that they can do to get their content onto their service, they're going to do, because as you said earlier, it's all selling points and it's all getting that second month, third month, fourth month of subscription. So
they're also kind of confirming that, you know, they are talking about to Comcast about buying the other share of Hulu. They said bullish on Hulu. They're very much kind of into all of that. Next week, we've got a big upfront presentation where there's going to be lots of information about new shows. Actually, new shows as of time of recording are being announced for all the different channels and stuff. So there's lots of stuff going on with regards to that. But generally, the general feeling from that investor call that I got, because I listened to it a few times, was, you know, they're very happy with the reaction to Disney Plus. They're focused on Hulu. They're focused on direct-to-consumer. And they've got a plan, and they're really putting their money into it. Apparently, FX are also developing for their direct-to-consumer, which could be stuff for Disney Plus. I think we're going to see a lot more of this once things start working out what they're doing, because they wanted that Fox for production. That's what they were. That's literally what they were on about, I think. Quite a few times they were kind of mentioning this idea of the people and the development and all the rest of it was what they were really interested in.
Right. I mean, you get a lot of very experienced people from acquiring Fox, which they could have built up themselves over time, but why build it up yourselves when you've already got the studios ready to go? And of course, on top of that, the IPs, of course. So,
I mean, I still think, like, had Disney not brought Fox, they could have probably run one streaming service fine. I just don't think that unless they didn't, they wouldn't have been able to run the two. I felt that would have, you know, if you look at it from that point, it would have been easier to have shifted like ABC and stuff onto Disney Plus than trying to run two without Fox. I think it would have almost been impossible for them to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the amount of content that they've got and all the back catalogue and all the rest of it. But they were very much open about using Fox content. And I think we're starting to see what they're doing with it. I mean, they haven't really kind of gone down the line of rebranding and sorting stuff out and rejiggling, but I expect we'll be learning about that in the future.
And so, not the too near future, though.
No.
It'll be a while.
It might be a while yet before we work that all out. So I'm just going to have a look here and see what other news came out this week. So a little fun tidbit was that apparently the song from the Lady and the Tramp movie, the Siamese Cats one, is not, oh, they're changing it or not putting it in there. Didn't surprise me at all. When I saw this, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes complete sense. The only trouble is I watched it again just to remind myself what it is, and it was stuck in my head for about 4 days afterwards. So yeah, if they can take that song out, it just makes sense. It's just not suitable for now. I know a lot of people love it, but it's just that situation of it's just not suitable for a movie being released today to have that in there.
Well, it's not even so much the song itself. It was how it was sung.
And even the way the cats were drawn, that was a big issue with their eyes, with the teeth, all the rest of it. And
yeah, you know, absolutely.
It's that situation of, they've got to change it up. I'm interested to see what it is. At the end of the day, this is going to be a on Disney streaming service movie. It's going to catch attention, but there's so much going to be on that month. I mean, it's kind of an odd one. In some ways, this one probably could have dealt with being a few weeks later to drive people in, because I think there's going to be so much on Disney Plus available at launch. This one could get lost in the shuffle.
And they're probably okay with that, honestly. I mean, no matter what you do, some are going to get lost in the shuffle. And it's one of those things that you can stick it on the banner, like, hey, we've got Lady and the Tramp. And, I know Lady and the Tramp, and this is a live-action Lady and the Tramp. But just having it on the banner is enough. Mm. Whether or not people end up actually watching it isn't another thing entirely. I think we'll end up watching it just so we can talk about it. But sometimes you just have shows or movies where it's to say you have them. And that might be the case here. But on the flip side, you know, them changing the Siamese Cat song is at least a good press thing for them as well, too. Yeah. So there's multiple layers to this.
Yeah. Some other news as well was that apparently there was a series of developing called Sofa Springs that was going to be a Disney Plus exclusive. Apparently it's no longer a Disney Plus exclusive and going back to the Disney Channel. They couldn't kind of fight. Again, there's been some problems going on with Disney Plus and tone. With their tone.
Oh.
The tone of their series. Apparently the showrunner of the High School Musical series, he's leaving halfway through. The Sofa Springs wasn't quite feeling right because the Disney Channel have only ever made for themselves. They've never made for anybody else audience. So they tend to think quite sort of Disney Channel like. And I think Disney Plus wanted something a little bit more grown up, but there was a bit of conflict of what was going on. So they're all going to end up on Disney Plus anyway, because I think everything from Disney Channel is going to run through anyway. But it's just interesting to see there's a little bit of weird stuff going on, because we saw that with the High Fidelity series a few weeks ago, when that was announced to be moving over to Hulu because it got too adult themed. So definitely seems to be a little bit of a theme going here. There's some shuffling going on between the content of when they're making it, whether or not they feel it's right for Disney Plus or not.
Right. And it'll take a while for not just the creators, but also Disney Plus executives and content managers to kind of find that sweet spot of how mature do we want to make these. And yeah, it's just going to take time and building up experience.
My thing with this is I'm wondering if Disney Plus, if they don't want the exclusives to be deemed too childish because they're trying to get adults. They know that if it's for Disney Channel, they'll get the kids anyway. But it almost feels like they don't want to put out too much stuff being too kiddie because that might affect their adults, as the exclusives are the things that they're trying to get the adults in with.
Right. We've talked about that plenty who is Disney Plus for? Mm-hmm. Is it for the adults and then it's got the benefit of the kids having their shows, or is it for the kids and then the adults have the benefit of a couple of shows like The Mandalorian? And yeah, them kind of finding the middle ground is going to be tough.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. But so jumping over now to another story, was officially announced this week, was a new live-action movie called Secret Society of the Second Born Royals. We've been reporting about this for months, but now it's actually officially confirmed. It's going to star Peyton Elizabeth Lee, who is the star and actress of Andy Mack, which obviously just got cancelled. She's going to be in that one. Their movie production begins in Toronto later this month. They've also announced some other actors and actresses that are going to be in this one as well. So we've got Fairly Rocco Van Havana as Prince Mate. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that one. Elizabeth Blake Thomas, as Princess January. Olivia Debbie as Princess Roxana. And Niles Flinch from This Is Us as Prince Tuma. And also they've also got Alu Young, who played Electra. She's going to be Queen Catherine. Ashley Lyo is going to be Princess Eleanor. Nora Lomax as Mike, and also Skylar Austin as well, who will be in it. So there's lots of stuff going on there. Just great to see them kind of jumping out now and kind of really getting into like these announcements and keep just drip feeding new stuff. I mean, we've got some new TV shows as well dropping in the line, but they definitely seem to be like, okay, seems like almost like one a week is being sort of announced here at the moment.
At the moment being the key. Yeah. And I think it's only going to increase as we get closer to launch date. But it's like you said, they want Disney Plus to constantly be in the news. And it's not always going to be in your face. It's not always going to be, you know, Disney Plus in big highlighted letters. But you'll get to the end of the press release and blankety blank will be on Disney Plus at launch or shortly after launch. And it's just that way of keeping the name in circulation.
I think we'll start seeing that a lot more probably from, I would imagine maybe like September, October, they'll start doing that. They'll, at the minute, it's like the Disney Channel are announcing stuff and it's still very much on Disney Now and Disney Channel. Because if it's coming out in June and it's not coming out for another 4 or 5 months, they need to kind of get that, you know, they don't want to be saying it now. It's a little bit too early.
Right, yeah. There's definitely a time frame window, and hitting it too early means that by the time it comes out, you stopped caring, or you know so much about it you don't even need to see it anymore. But by this point, Disney's got 70 years of experience on this kind of thing. They probably have it pretty much down to a science of when to announce things.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to kind of like our last thing here was Spider-Man Far From Home trailer got announced. So before we're just going to share our thoughts on the trailer, but then we're going to get into the Disney Plus side of things, which might not please people as much as we hope. So first off, James, what did you think of that trailer for Far From Home?
It was a decent trailer. Solid. Definitely has the Endgame spoilers in it. I don't know. I'm more interested in the movie based on the strength of Homecoming than I am from anything we've actually seen for the movie so far. I do appreciate that they're trying very hard to push that Mysterio is not a bad guy, that he is a hero, that he is an ally. Come on, guys, it's Mysterio. Now, they might push the angle that, you know, he is trying to be good, but something that will happen that will prevent him from going back to his home, and that will push him into being like the gray area bad guy, something like that. But yeah, guys, it's Mysterio. He's been a villain. I don't think he's ever even been a hero in the Marvel universe at all. So
I suppose the one way of looking at it, this is the first time we've seen him on screen. Most time, the vast majority of the mainstream people will see this character, so they can play that little thing. All of us comic book fans are going, yeah, yeah, he lies all the time. That's what he does.
He's got a fishbowl on his head. Come on.
Yeah, they seem to kind of been kind of going away a little bit from that look. To be honest, this trailer felt like an entirely different movie than the one we saw for the trailer a few months ago, didn't it? It didn't even feel like the same movie.
No, it didn't. But also some of that was they couldn't do any of the end game stuff in the previous one. They couldn't. They had to skirt around what happened in Endgame. So a lot of this trailer is driven by, oh, yeah, things happened in Endgame, and this is some of the fallout from it.
Yeah. So stuff. I think it looks great. I can't wait to see it. You know, it's not too far away now. And it's, I just thought it worked really well. You know, that thing of the fallout, them all being a bit, you know, it does seem like the world's kind of just moved on, but we'll find out a little bit more. Also, just a quick note, I just remembered something from that investor call. Bob Iger did say about the fact that there was a number of characters and like Easter eggs in Avengers that he said, if you go online, you'll find out what they're hinting at. So I think, you know, there were some hints there at like Namor, I think you said about that as well in our Avengers spoiler cast. And so we're going to see a little bit more of this. But one thing that did pop up in this Spider-Man trailer was the concept of the multiverse, which some people are going, is this just Mysterio pulling the wool over Nick Fury's eyes? Because let's be honest, up till now, you know, you've got essentially a guy that he's got aliens, a cap that can eat things. He's been dead for 5 years and brought back from the dead, and he's got Asgardians and space creatures, and he's gonna believe anything at this point.
True. We'll just have to wait and find out, but I hope they don't go too far with the multiverse thing. Although, I mean, the most likely theory, if they are building up a multiverse, is that they can just import the X-Men over, but I hope they don't do that. I hope they reboot them from the beginning. Even if it does go in the multiverse direction for that, it doesn't have to be the X-Men that we have, but it could be their safe way of bringing the mutants over.
Or one particular character from the X-Men universe and bringing him over
into the universe. I don't know why you'd want to bring the Beast over, but you know.
Yeah, little Pikachu. It's the kind of thing of Deadpool, that would be the one way of bringing him in and kind of making a nudge, wink, wink. But that's all in the future. The big thing really that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention really was with Spider-Man Far From Home is this movie is being distributed by Sony. While it's a Marvel Studios movie and they help make it and then all the rest of it, Sony are still pushing it out. You know, when all the trailers come out and stuff, they all come through Sony. Marvel is still pushing it and they're still promoting it. But this could have an impact on Disney Plus, because nowhere in the Investors Day last month did they actually have any images of from Homecoming, and Far From Home wasn't shown on the list of movies coming to Disney Plus. And that could be because Sony's got deals with Stars, because you can find Homecoming on there now in the US. So they might have made some new deals, they might have licensed it, they could do, but it doesn't fall under the same rule as everything else, like Captain Marvel and Endgame.
Right, and we don't know what the details are. The Stars deal certainly seems likely, although that has not stopped at least Netflix from getting movies in the past, or Amazon Prime. But Sony may have already made plans to put it onto another network, or to just hold it off on their own. Sony might have plans to create their own as well.
Yeah, thankfully they seem to have been very open about the fact that they don't want to do that and they want to license that. The fact that we had that deal announced last week with all the Sony Spider-Man shows and bits and pieces, I would not be at all surprised if they've made some deals. You know, they've already announced that it's coming to PlayStation 4. We got the Spider-Man games. It's the only company they've got to kind of negotiate with right now. I think there's probably a very good chance. I'd love to see it, but just be aware that Homecoming and Far From Home might not necessarily be at home on Disney Plus. This is the problem with the MCU. The MCU is a bit scattered. They're still sorting out issues. But hopefully, if they write some big enough checks, they can sort it all out.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the options. Another thing is Sony might be holding out to say, we want it on Disney Plus, but we don't want it exclusively on Disney Plus, because we want to have it on Netflix or Amazon Prime or CBS All Access, I don't know. Because as beneficial as this agreement has been for Sony and Marvel, Sony does still hold the cards when it comes to the Spider-Man movies. And they might want to kind of exploit that as much as possible, and I can't blame them for that.
But like we said in the past, they don't own the rights to the video games or the TV series, which they're also making. So there's something going on. We know, we can tell there's something going on there. But just a kind of a warning, really, of if things move around a little bit, we know why. But then nothing has been officially confirmed about these. You know, we know Endgame and we know Captain Marvel. But it's hard to think that's really Spider-Man Far From Home will be the last Marvel movie this year. They are expecting to announce the latest slates in the summer. That's what Bob Iger said. So that could be D23 or San Diego Comic-Con. I think, you know, better off doing it at... I think in some way San Diego Comic-Con makes better sense because more comic book fans... But D23, they can own that weekend to themselves. They don't have to worry about any other company kind of getting involved in it.
Right, yeah. And Disney does not have a shortage of platforms to announce things on this year. And I expect they will have things for all of those. But yeah, I agree. San Diego makes more sense for Spider-Man because it is... it's not really a comic convention anymore. It's more of like a pop culture media convention that's heavily influenced by comics, but it's mostly movies and TV shows and such like that. But it still does make more sense for that to be the Spider-Man platform. And as popular as D23 is, it is very specifically Disney. And if you are not a hardcore Disney fan, you're probably A, not listening to this podcast, but two, you're not going to really hear D23 news just kind of off the cuff. Whereas if you're at San Diego or listening to San Diego news, you might be there because you want to hear about, you know, some universal property. You want to see the new Fast and the Furious trailer or something like that. But because you're also being exposed to all the other news, I was like, oh, hey, information about Homecoming and Far From Home being on Hulu or wherever it ends up. So there's more of a chance of you kind of getting it into people's radars who wouldn't otherwise see it.
And also it just spreads out PR beats. It just means that then too. When the D23 Expo and the new park stuff and the new Disney stuff and the new Star Wars stuff and the Disney Plus stuff all gets revealed at that event, the Marvel stuff isn't overshadowing that. And they can still put out a trailer for Winter Soldier or something like that and kind of completely just, you know, take over it. But it makes sense for them to have that PR beat going for a while. But that pretty much wraps up this week. It was kind of a very packed week full of information and news. I expect next week will be just the same because we've got that special live event on Tuesday that ABC is running from New York with all their television networks. So we're going to find out lots of new TV shows and should help feed us into Disney Plus news as well. But before we go off, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Hello to all the new subscribers over there. Subscribe on the audio platforms. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We also have a Facebook group as well, which about to hit about 1,000 members this week. So that's been great if you're over there as well. James, where can they find you?
You find me heroiclegacy.com.
And on that, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.